All right, let's pray. Let us pray, pray, pray. Been feeling the power in this studio in a significant way the past couple days, and I'm grateful for the answered prayers that came in. In fact, let me share a few of the answered prayers with you. I always like to do that. But before I do that, let me just remind you, you can email me your intentions, drew@relevantradio.com, and I pray for you. We all pray for you. And of course, if you want to get them on the air, a good way to do that is go to Twitter, @DrewMarianiShow. Just do a search for it, and you can go ahead and post it there. Maggie, we'll share some of them a little bit later in the chaplet. We'll bring some of those intentions to the air. And, of course, you can call me here, 888-914-9149. If you want to follow me personally on Twitter, you can do that, too. It's @DrewMariani. And, a lot going on here. Let me, before we start, also just remind you of something. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'm going to be away from the mic. Normally, I don't mention it. Ed Morrissey is going to be sitting in. But I do want to make you aware of something that's happening starting this Sunday. Okay? On Sunday, a novena begins to St. Faustina. And I would strongly encourage you to go ahead and to pray this prayer. It's a powerful novena. You might have a special need or intention. You might have a something that you're really praying hard for. Turn to St. Novena. St. Novena. Turn to St. Faustina and ask her for your needs. I'm going to begin it. Starts Sunday, concludes on October 5th, her feast day. That's the day that the Lord called her home, and it's the day the church honors this great saint. I'm going to be praying for a very personal intention that I have, and I'd ask you to pray for me, too, if you could. I'd love that. It'd mean the world to me. But I'll also remember you when I pray my novena. It starts the 26th. Mark your calendar. You probably won't hear another mention of it again, so just putting it on your radar, all right? In the studio with me today is Beth. She is she hails from our creative department. Good to have you here. Beth, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Drew.
Any intentions? Anything you want to pray for?
Yeah, I would like to pray for, this past weekend, my first cousin and my godfather, he was able to travel in to visit from Arizona to Wisconsin. And so we were able to spend quality time together. We visited my parents, which are his aunt and uncle, obviously. Oh. And so I just want to pray for him and his health and just right. Special intentions for him.
We'll do that. Thank you. Beth, we'll pray for you, too.
All thank right, you.
We'll pray for your needs. You always pray for someone else. I love that. Let me share an answer prayer or two, and then we'll take your calls and we'll pray as well. This person says, "Dear Drew Mariano," I love when people get my Drew Marinara, Drew Marinano. I know what you mean. It's great. I love it. He said, "Boy, thank you for your wonderful show." I want to tell you, I'm so grateful God has answered my prayers for my daughter who's been struggling financially. We've been praying the chapel to Divine Mercy with you and the family rosary. He says, and all of a sudden, Drew, out of the blue, a $9,000 check showed up into Mary's bank account. God is so good, he says. He helped my daughter at the right time, and it was unexpected. I have the Relevant Radio app. I'm so inspired every day. You've been helping me to grow in my faith, and it has grown stronger. May God bless you and everyone of the Relevant Radio family. So that's a round of applause for all of us here who've interceded for this man in time of need, especially for his daughter. And that's the way God works. One day I'm going to write a book on how good God is, right? And I have so many stories of his providence. It's absolutely amazing. You'll be surprised at how God comes in that 11th hour and 59th minute. And money is one of those miracles that I see can happen all the time. Big miracles, too. So you think, I'll never get out of this because the math doesn't add up. Don't underestimate God. God is a God of blessing. He's a God of abundance. He's a multiplier. I say it all the time, and he can resolve your situations in ways you can't even imagine. Blessings come to those who trust. Blessings come to those who pray from their heart. And the Lord wants to do this. His heart overflows with generosity. Another person says, hey, Drew, praise God. We have some prayers that were answered. When I first found out that I had breast cancer, I was stunned. We reached out for prayer, and we requested that the surgeon would take out all the cancer, that I wouldn't need chemotherapy or radiation, and that I would be on the medication that would not harm my body. I remember that call. She goes, that's what happened. Icing on the cake, what we didn't ask for, was the medical bill. It was totally taken care of, so praise God. God is so good, isn't he? Look, don't let finances stress you out. I know how crippling they can be. You get overwhelmed with that credit card debt, that medical bill, the mortgage, the loans, whatever it might be. And you think, I'll never be free from this. It's like an anchor around my neck. No, God can surprise you. He can surprise you in wonderful, wonderful ways. One last one, okay, and then we'll pray. How about this one? This comes from Elizabeth in New Mexico. This was a request for prayers of Thanksgiving. June 17th, my friend Terry told me she was having a pulmonary embolism in April and was diagnosed with mesothelioma and was on FMLA. So I began lifting up every day during the chaplet and during the rosary. And I've been doing so most days. Well, I never called or wrote. I just united my prayer with everyone else. Let me stop on that point. I know everybody wants to call. They feel if you get your intention on the air, it's going to get answered. And look, we do see that. I love when people call and they call back and say, wow, I called you a few days ago and this miracle took place. But we're all one family. You may not get through, and I say this all the time, God still hears our prayers and God still answers them. She says, on September 18th, just a couple days ago, right, after a clear CT and PET scan was reviewed by MD Anderson, the doctor said they were absolutely stumped. She is now completely tumor-free, no breathing difficulty. They wondered, there's got to be something wrong here. This can't be possible. They said, the original PET scan and other tests, they must be wrong. They must be an error. No, this can't be the case. It's impossible, right? She's been telling me since the end of June that she's been feeling very well and not sick anymore, and she came back to work full-time in July, now full-time. I just want to thank the merciful Jesus. I pray now for the intentions of all the listeners and all those prayer partners who prayed for her as well. When two or more are gathered, so is Christ. And she has, and for those of us who are only one, the listeners are the best group. And I love that because we are perfectly united, aren't we? That's the beauty of this chapel. That's the power of this. God can make tumors vanish. He can multiply your finances. He hears your prayers. He loves you infinitely. He's got good things in store for you. Our God is good. He is good, and he loves you, and don't ever forget that. Let's pray now for that miracle that you're waiting for in your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, I'll take your calls. Please write to me with those miracles that are unfolding in your life, too. I love sharing them. They inspire me. Mark is listening in Maine. Mark, thank you for your call. Thank you for your patience. Good to have you here today.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Drew. And I'm praying for you also. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, sir.
I'd like to say a prayer for my sister. She's got this... she aborted a baby, and she has this on her heart and on her soul, and I'm trying to get her to go to confession and clear her soul of that sin, and I'm having a hard time. Can you please pray for her so that her body, mind, and soul can be taken over by God, and she can get the forgiveness.
Mark, you're a really good brother. And here's the thing. I know how much you love your sister. And I just want you to know our Lord loves her more than you can ever imagine. And here's the thing. I mean, she'll come to that moment. I know God's grace is going to work. Our prayers are going to prevail. And it's in
and
God.
One more thing.
It's in God's time. I want you to be patient on that, okay? And go ahead. What's your other intention?
I got a friend. He's 55 years old. His name is Dave. And every night he has to do dialysis. They put a device so he could do dialysis at his house every day. And he also needs a triple heart bypass.
Wow.
So he's having a hard time making the decision because it's risky for him to go to the hospital and everything. And he was going to get a kidney from his sister, but his sister got cancer.
Oh, no. How horrible. No, in a bad way. All right, Mark, let's do this. Let's pray for him. Let's pray for you, all your intentions, all those other ones you have. These are impossible situations medically, right? They don't look good. But for God, he's the divine physician. Let's ask for that healing. Let's ask for those miracles. We just shared a testimony of how cancerous tumors vanished, and doctors said, the PET scans must be wrong. The early data must have been flawed. Yeah, multiple tests were wrong. I don't think so. I know the answer. I think God intervened. He heard our prayers, and a miracle ensued. Let's pray right now for anyone having coronary issues, anybody with cardiac issues right now. Lord, I ask you to heal the heart. I ask you to heal those broken hearts as well, those who are really mourning and in agony over deep wounds and hurts. I want to pray for those with renal and kidney problems, Lord. I just ask that you intervene those waiting for transplants, those who need them, those healings, those on dialysis. I pray for them as well. And then I want to lift up this woman who had an abortion. And again, I've said it earlier, I'll say it again. God loves you. If you made the mistake, God still loves you. In fact, he told St. Faustina that the greater the sinner, the greater the right that they have to his mercy. He says the flames of his mercy are burning him. He clamors to spend them. He wants to pour them upon souls. All you have to do is turn to him, and God will give you his mercy. If you're Catholic, I invite you to go back to confession. No, so often women make a mistake, and they do it for the wrong reason. But God's mercy is there for you, and then you just have to forgive yourself. I know God's going to forgive you. But I pray for any woman who's had an abortion, any man who's been involved. I pray for anyone who can't forgive themselves. I give you these intentions as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. We'll go to Georgetown, Texas. Next, Virginia's praying with us there. Virginia, good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I have two boys. My 11-year-old is being bullied at school, and he's being excluded and being picked on. And we're having a really hard time with it. School started a couple of weeks ago. Want to be patient, be kind. You know, it's a new year and people are trying to get their footing and figure things out. And it's just snowballing and getting worse and worse. And they're getting in his space and they're telling him to catch him and they'll beat him up. And yesterday they were kicking him. And so we've taken it to the school and we're just really praying for a quick and efficient resolution to all of the bullying, just so that he can go throughout his school day in peace, and just pray for him that he always knows his inner strength and who he is in his heart, you know?
Yeah. Well, Virginia, I just want to say as a father, you know, my heart goes out to you as a parent. You know, you feel so powerless and so helpless in those situations, and it's just so unjust and so unfair. I'm glad you got through it, and you did the right things. Definitely take it to the school. You have to protect your son, that's for sure. But let's pray for him right now. Let's pray for conversion. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for new beginnings, okay? And I want to pray for you, because I know, gosh, I can only imagine what you're going through. I can only imagine how difficult it must be for you. And Lord, I give you this mother who loves the gift you gave her, her son. She loves him deeply. And I just pray right now for any child that is being bullied, anyone who has been bullied. They carry those scars with them through life. And I ask today that you go in and you heal those deep wounds, those psychological scars, those physical scars, Lord. But I do ask for protection over her little 11-year-old child, that you will put into place the right individual, the person, the protocol, whatever it may be, to allow this child to continue his education and to be insulated from any harm or damage that may have come from this. And I just pray for this mother, that she'll have divine wisdom, and she'll have the love and the mercy that she needs. And we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
We'll go to our next call right after Maggie, who is going to share just some of the very important intentions that have come in on our Twitter. And again, you can put your intentions at Drew Mariani Show if you want to share them. Go ahead, Maggie.
Yeah, I first just want to lift up Scott, who approached us at lunch today. I just want to pray for the success of his rosary prayer group and for the repose of the soul of his niece's husband and for their family. A listener also called earlier today. She said, on this feast of Padre Pio, would you please pray for the leaders of Catholic institutions that are being harassed because they're not embracing certain transgender policies, which I think is a good thing to lift up. David is asking for prayers for growth and success in his career. Barbie's asking for prayers for her friend Phil, who passed away yesterday from COVID. She wants to pray for his soul and for comfort for his wife and three children that he left behind. Elizabeth's asking for prayers for baby Miller, born last week at 23 weeks. He's in the El Paso NICU. He had a critical night. His oxygen dropped, and he had a low heart rate last night. So let's pray for divine healing there. Claire's asking for prayers for her mom, who passed away on Sunday. And she says, for me, I have stage 4 cancer. If it's his will, I'm asking for healing. And then also Aaron is asking for prayers for Father Dan Fallon in Chicago, who also was recently diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Wow. Let's pray for all those intentions, especially cancer. Wow. Lord, your mercy. I give you all those intentions, all those who wrote, those who are on hold, those who are united with me in prayer. I want to pray for my wife, Kathy, today, and for my son, Brett. He is born on the Feast of Padre Pio. Today's his birthday. And I always pray for him, and happy birthday, son, and happy birthday to the woman who gave birth to him. That's what I like to say. She gets birthdays all throughout the year, right? She has her own birthday, but look, a mom gives birth. She deserves some special attention on this day, too. Sneak Maureen in. She's listening in Chicago. Maureen, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Just wanted to ask for prayers for my mom. She's suffering from Alzheimer's. She's suffering greatly, so I wanted to ask for prayers for people with Alzheimer's and dementia, certainly my mom and their caregivers. She has a great one named Janet. Wow. And their family members who suffer alongside them.
You got it, Maureen. It's an important prayer. So many carrying this cross today. And I'll give you Maureen, but in particular her mother. We pray for clarity of mind and for recall and for healing and really for resolution to those who suffer from Alzheimer's, from dementia, from Parkinson's, any debilitating disease, especially anyone that, you know, cognitive function is affected. And I just ask for mercy. You know our needs. We ask for the healing. We ask for miracles today, as I do every day. And we trust, we pray, Eternal Father, We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Tom's praying in Illinois. Hi, Tom. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I'm calling for prayers from the relevant family listeners for my... for our dear granddaughter, Elizabeth, who's in late stages of pregnancy and having all kinds of problems, heart problems, etc. So would appreciate prayers for her and also for all the holy souls in purgatory. Thanks, Drew.
Beautiful prayers. Tom, thank you. And pray for you and your beautiful family that God will bless you with many grandchildren. And I do pray for his granddaughter right now who's having these complications. I pray for any woman right now who's having problems in utero, who's pray for any problem pregnancies, Lord. I would pray for those who struggle with infertility, too, who desperately want a child, for those who are asking for adoption. I want to pray for that mother who has been given the gift of life and doesn't think that she can have it and wants to terminate it. I give you this need. I thank you for the gift of life. And I ask for miracles again on behalf of Tom, this beautiful grandfather. From this moment forward, I ask that these prayers reach your throne, that his pregnant daughter, those issues begin to mitigate and become alleviated. And we do pray for those who go before us. I love that prayer. Let's not forget our loved ones who are in purgatory. Mercy, Father, as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Clifton, New Jersey. Emily, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, I have a thank you for a miracle, and I also have a prayer request.
All right, praise God.
Thank you first. I called in December when my son was diagnosed with lymphoma. The tumor was the size of a man's fist around his windpipe in the esophagus. And after chemo and radiation, today he had his last PET scan, and today he's cancer-free.
Well, praise God. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, Emily. Write that down, too, and email me that story. I love that. God is so good.
I'll be happy to.
What can we pray for today? How can we pray for you?
And we have a dear family friend whose their son is CJ, and okay. He's 8 years old. He's lived his whole life with a heart condition. They tried yesterday with a catheter to repair it, but they can't. So now he's looking at open heart surgery, which they're hoping he'll be strong enough for soon. So I want to lift up him and his family. And standing on all the miracles of my life, I give this one to the Lord and thank him in advance for answering it.
What a beautiful soul you are, Emily. I love it. Let's pray together then, okay? We'll pray for your son. We'll pray for your family. But I give you thanks for the way you bring about miracles, some instantaneously, some through the gift of medicine. But I do pray for this young child right now, so young, who may face open heart surgery. We ask you repair that heart. We ask you go in now, Lord, and let there be another great miracle of your mercy here. We pray for the families who have to endure these types of hardships. I give you Emily and all of her needs. I give you Beth, who's praying with me, and all who are on hold, and all who have written in. All those who are crying out to you now. Heavenly Father, we trust in your mercy. I know you desire to give us very much. And we thank you for that as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole
world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin, most powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
Father Seraphim Mikalenko,
pray for us.
Padre Pio,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love that closing prayer that we pray where it says, Eternal God in whom mercy is endless. You know the prayer. It was actually written by St. Faustina. It comes out of her diary, diary entry 950. There's a beautiful litany that St. Faustina wrote to trust. And I want to thank the individual who wrote this to me. Gave it. It's a prayer I pray. I've known this for a long time. It's a long litany of trust. Maybe I'll share it with you one day. This is such a beautiful prayer. You know, it helps you to trust in the Lord and really call upon him. It concludes with that prayer that Faustina wrote. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, you might be struggling with where we are today. Finding hope can be difficult in your situation right now. Maybe even in the culture, in the world. I mean, look at the economy. Look at what's happening on the southern border. Take a look at the pandemic, your business, the family, the dysfunction in what's going on in society at large, the sexual confusion, the battle for life, right? It could be overwhelming. It's hard to discern. When I return, Father David Simonetti is going to be joining us. Let's take a look at how we handle that, best navigate. I'd love to hear how you're doing it, too. So feel free to join the conversation. The number here is 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you, and I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
Yeah, you know, I love that song, right? What a classic. It brings me back to an Amish barn. I can see Harrison Ford in the movie Witness. It's an older movie now. Great scene. That's a great song. And, you know, we do live in a wonderful time, don't we? I see good in people. I see good in the culture. I see God, you know, his light piercing the darkness that seems to be enshrouding us. There's a very famous saying out there. It says, you know, one light can pierce the darkness. One candle can pierce the darkness. But 1,000 can banish it. And we're called to be those lights, aren't we? We're called to be those lights today. It's so easy to get overwhelmed. You know, I deal with the current events of the day. I deal with the news and issues that unfold in your world every day. And I try to give you an honest analysis of what's unfolding. And I try to give you a moral perspective on some of these complicated issues. And I also try to look down the road and see what looms if we continue to travel down that path. If we travel away from God, there are serious consequences for that. But what happens if we take the path towards God? How different life can be. And we are obviously living right now in troubled times. I mean, we have a pandemic going on for almost 2 years. I thought it was going to be done. I really did. I thought this thing would burn itself out after about 9 months, a year at the most. But we're seeing variant after variant, right? A lot of people very concerned. There's debates over vaccinations and mandates, right? We're seeing all these different issues. Not only that, we got all this political division happening from this pandemic. You know, there's this bickering that causes division amongst friends and family. You know, certain family members are vaccinated, others aren't, right? Certain friends are, certain aren't. Certain colleagues are, certain aren't. I mean, you see division. It's the hallmark of the evil one in the culture today, right? It's his signature, and it's apparent. We saw that, you know, with the riots that took place in the streets not too long ago, race against race. I never thought we'd see that. I thought those race wars in the time of, you know, racial division were over. Media paints it like, you know, it's as bad as, you know, 1865. I think people are inherently good. I don't think we are a racist nation. I know people can argue with me on that and disagree with that. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. Our country, the most powerful military in the world, probably the most powerful military that the world has ever seen with our technology and our abilities, just got humiliatingly defeated by a bunch of guys who are wearing sandals, right? I mean, think about that. Think about what has happened. These guys were thugs, right? They enslaved women. You know, the abuses that they perpetrate. And we left with our tail between our legs. That victory only means that there's probably going to be an increase in terrorism around the world. That's what the experts are saying. I pray that that's not the case. But it could very likely unfold. And again, you know, that causes a lot of consternation, a lot of anxiety in the hearts of people. They're worried about the next 9/11. They're worried about what's happening with our government or in our military and how safe we are as a nation. Our southern border is porous, right? You see 15,000, you know, so-called refugees down in Del Rio. They move forces from other parts of the border, and experts are saying, you know, there are truckloads of drugs being driven across our border. Those drugs are infecting our schools and our towns and our kids, and people are dying at unprecedented levels. It's easy to get stressed out by that. It really is. There's turmoil in our schools. There's turmoil in our homes. Certain educators are trying to indoctrinate your kids with critical race theory and a gender ideology, right? I say to my wife all the time, I'm so glad our kids are out of school. I'm just so glad I don't have to deal with this. OMG, how would you deal with that, right? It's frustrating. Parents are frustrated. And I could go on and on. You know, all you got to do is turn on your television, right? You got to read a newspaper or take a look at the headlines online. It can get you really bummed out. It can get you very anxious. It can get you pretty distressed, right? And in addition to all of those current events and events that unfold, I just got done praying the chapel to Divine Mercy with you. And I hear stories that break my heart. 11-year-old boys being bullied, people with financial pressures losing their homes, relationships that aren't working, marriages that are failing, you know, kids leaving the faith. Now, I don't want to depress you. I'm sorry. I know I'm probably bringing you down right now. The reason I lay this out is because I think these are times in which we are called to be examples of hope. This is a time to embrace hope. This is a time to bring light, especially the light of Jesus Christ, to this darkness. Fear, you know, what conquers fear? Truth conquers fear. What conquers fear? Love conquers fear. What conquers fear? Jesus Christ conquers fear, and he banishes the darkness. That's what happens. The light will vanquish the darkness, and it will conquer the fear. And Jesus is just alive today as he has ever been, right? And you, he lives in you. You know, you are called to be that same light. So when you face these situations, and none of us is immune from them, we're called to be that voice of truth. We're called to be that voice of peace, of unity, of love. We're called to be the voice of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. I'm joined by somebody who understands that intimately. I was having a conversation with him over the weekend. He is the pastor of, very appropriately named, parish, Christ Our Light Parish. It's located in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and you've heard Father David Simonetti with me before. He is a regular on-air spiritual director for the Inner Life right here on Relevant Radio. You can check that out every afternoon with Josh Raymond at 11 Central. But he preaches these beautiful missions and these days of recollection, and he and I were talking a little bit about what's unfolding in the culture, from vaccines to, you know, what we're seeing, you know, internationally and internally amongst families. And I said, Father, you got to come on. Let's talk about this. How do we address it? And I want to open the phones to you, too. If you're struggling with this, give us a call. I'd love to have you join us. 888-914-9149. If you've been able to get through this, if you have strategies or solutions, love to hear from you, too. Feel free to give us a call. But it's a delight to welcome to the conversation Father David Simonetti. Father, thanks for what you do. Good afternoon.
You're welcome. Drew, your opening thing depressed me so much I almost hung up and got in my bed. Oh, my God. It's a good thing I'm on.
It certainly is.
Oh, man, I was going to reach for my pills like a junkie or something. My goodness gracious.
We need a good laugh after that, right? We certainly do. Let's talk about it, Father. I mean, I know that you are a champion of bringing this message of hope and light to your family, your spiritual family there in your parish, and so good to have you on the air with us. But let's talk about, you know, we've laid out what's happening. What's the basic reason for hope in times like this? I mean, give me your perspective on what's unfolding now and why you think it's more important than ever to make sure that we bring that light.
You know, I do love being on your show and all the great work you're doing, which I guess goes on nationwide now. I was on an interviewer asked me the same question this morning. I was on, it's called Catholic Chicago Archdiocese Live Podcast, and he asked me that question. He said to me, Father Sackowitz, he said, tell me, what is the reason, really, that we can, because it's so easy to succumb under the enormous weight of this, where, in the words of Pope Benedict, evil appears to be triumphing, you know? And I said, look, my answer is real simple. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty, you know? The Lord, hello?
Yeah, you're here, Father. I'm listening. No,
oh, yeah. Ahead. Okay. Yeah. The tomb is empty. The Lord rose. You know, he vanquished all this and opened for us something beyond anything we can imagine. And he ultimately, I remember Cardinal George said, rest in peace, he said, you know, people have this sense of control. They want to control things. He said, we're in control of nothing. He said, control is an illusion. We must only, and I really mean this, only trust in the Lord and in his divine mercy for us. And stay very, very close to him. You know, I'm very fond of the scripture, trust not in princes.
Right.
When the Lord says that, trust not in princes, I'm referring to political princes, right, even church princes, all that, because ultimately, only the Lord has no agenda. Only the Lord will you know, do things for you that is for your betterment, you know. And so we just have to keep our eyes fixed on that. I personally, individually cannot have any control over what's going on in Afghanistan, though, although I can pray and in my own life say, wait a minute. See, when we're suffering, when people suffer and are afraid, you can get real quickly myopic vision, which means a very narrowing, constricting of your vision to focus only on that. And with the media and everything, you get a constant feed of this negative, that's all you can see. My job as a priest, especially breaking open the eternal word on Sundays and weekdays, is to widen out the picture for people that has gotten constricted, widen it out to what transcends all this, and that is the tomb is empty, you know, and the light overcame the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it, John tells us. And so Pope Benedict said that, again, evil may appear to have the upper hand. However, the Lord has the final word, you know, and that is what we have to keep our mind on. And, you know, people during the Black Plague of Europe and all, where two-thirds died and all, I mean, they were living in very tumultuous times. That the one constancy went throughout all of this is the hope of Christ in the church. That's the one constancy.
Yeah, that's so
and
true.
And the early Christians, the ones being baptized, were called the Illuminati, the illuminated ones. Hmm. So, again, I have to keep that light burning brightly in my heart, that the Lord ultimately is in control, and he will determine the course of things. And as St. Paul tells us, works out all things, for the good of those who love him.
Yeah. Well, my guest today is Father David Simonetti. Stay with us. Our conversation will continue. And when we come back, we'll take a few of your calls. If you're on hold, I'll get you on the air. If you want to join the conversation, you're always welcome. Feel free to dial in right now at 888-914-9149. Taking a look at finding hope in troubled times. Stay with us. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Drew Mariani is here for you on Relevant Radio.
It's so good to be with you today. Thanks for joining me. You know, I don't know how you feel. You feel there's something in the near future that goes beyond the hurricane or the economy or all the other issues that are currently unfolding in the world. Is there something rumbling even spiritually? It's really hard. I know when you are in the middle of a storm, to see the light, to see the calmer waters that are coming, right? It's hard when you are in the midst of difficulty to really to pray and even to trust. But we're here to let you know that, you know, God is with you. And I'm telling you what, there are calmer days coming, and there are ways out of these troubled times, and you should have help. My guest today, Father David Simonetti, has been preaching that message for a long time. And Father, it's good to have you with us. I want to jump into the phones. You were just telling me during the break you were actually having, explain it to me. It's not a day of recollection or mission, but your parish, Christ Our Light Parish, you're having an evening of what, of light?
Of light. You know, I live on the south edge of Chicago, and Chicago, everybody knows its problems politically, violence, all that. Well, we had a poor woman, suffered a great tragedy a few weeks ago, just going to work, you know, 5 in the morning, and how the people came out. And somebody who works for me said, boy, that's scary. That never happens here. And I just feel so vulnerable. I said, you know, the darkness is creeping in and the police feel it. So I put together, in cooperation with the Chicago Police Department, called Evening of Light. And it's a special mass for all first responders, yeah, and everyone who's been affected by violence.
Thank you for doing that.
And that's going to be Friday night, 2 days from now. No, tomorrow, at 6 p.m. here at the parish. I've got the Northwest Indiana Symphony playing, and bagpipers and drums from the police department. And it's people are invited to bring a picture of a loved one who's been affected, and
that's beautiful.
It's going to be beautiful. Yeah,
that is, Father. Thank you for doing that. I mean, bringing beauty into the midst of ugliness, bringing light into the midst of darkness. I mean, we need that. I wish parishes all across the nation would do that. And maybe there's somebody listening right now and say, you know, we're going to do something different. That's how you change your communities. Bravo. If people want information on that, I'm assuming just go to your parish website. Is that the best way to do it?
Right. COL, Christ Our Light. So colparish.org.
Great stuff.
And it's right on the front page, Evening of Light.
Wish I could attend. It would be great. Let me go to Judy in Phoenix, Arizona. She wants to join the conversation with you. Judy, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Drew. I wanted to say thank you to you personally. You just do such a great service, and I just appreciate you present everything. And, Father, a big thank you to you, because we need that message and that reminder that Christ is victor over all of this. And I know it does seem at times overwhelming. I was just sharing that last night we were at a rosary and praying. And, you know, at the end of it, we were talking, and I said, you know, I just think that we need to remember life from its most vulnerable all the way to the very last breath is precious. And, you know, I got a comment that was, you know, just that was not what I expected, kind of a very, very pro-Biden kind of a response. And I'm finding such division within our church. From the pulpit, I feel very, at times, very manipulated from the pulpit to, like, I'm now searching for a new church because, you know, everybody should be able to receive communion. And we're getting that directly from one of our, you know, where I was attending. And I feel within the church that even my safety, my home, that message of hope that you were just talking about, sometimes it feels as though that's being at the very minimum massaged and manipulated, even, you know, from the pulpit, so that trying to stay hopeful at times can be very difficult. And although I know it's true.
Yes, I hear what you're saying, and you know what, I hear it now. Again, there'll always be Judases, you know, and Our Lady of Fatima, you said the rosary. Okay. Our Lady of Fatima told us about this, and people thought, well, how could they be? Oh, okay, well, she obviously, the Lord must have told her, because Our Lady of Fatima, 100 years later, is absolutely right. You know, you pray your rosary, you ask for guidance, and you consecrate yourself to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and your family. And, you know, you ultimately, there's good, faithful priests out there. And, you know, again, that debate back and forth, focus not on princes, focus only on Jesus, who alone is faithful to himself. He alone is faithful. And perhaps, you know, go where you can worship, what I would say, with a peaceful heart, where it's only about Jesus, you know, and it's not about save the whales or whatever.
Yes, right. And I am, we are in the midst of church shopping again, you know, after a number of years, and we are looking for that place, as you say, that preaches a message of peace. Because I loved what you said, widening the prism from the altar of this message of hope. And I just want to thank you for that. And
You're
again, thank you for all the work you guys are doing, and God bless you, okay?
God bless you, Judy. Thank you. We'll pray for you. Pray that you get you find that right parish. It'd be wonderful if you do. And, you know, I'm always on the fence with parish hopping, if you will, Father, and Judy doesn't seem like she's doing that. She's discerning very carefully, but I often think we ought to pray, sacrifice for our priests and for our pastors in particular, and try to bring about that change in our parish if that's where God planted us, but I get it. We only have a few minutes. Let me sneak another call in here. Let's go to Ann. She's in Chicago. Got a question for you. This is a great one. Ann, good afternoon.
Hi, this is Ann, and I was at your parish many years ago when you had the glove of Padre Pio. And And I remember it was a small parish, but regardless, first of all, will you ever have that again? And second of all, happy feast day to Padre Pio.
Yeah, amen to that.
Yeah, today is St. Padre Pio. You know, a fellow who was a possessor of that glove, his I think aunt worked in Padre Pio's monastery. He said, when I die, he said, I'm going to will it to you. Well, I think he's still hanging on. I hate to sound like that, but I don't have it yet. I hate to sound like that, but he's still hanging on. So, modern medicine. So, but But no, I don't have the glove. Although I do have a piece of the glove.
You knew a Father Amalfitano, didn't you? Because I know he had the glove of Padre Pio. Is that who you got it from, or was it somebody else?
Well, no, Padre Pio had a lot of gloves. Well, I don't want to say a lot. I shouldn't say that. But there are a number of gloves.
Right. Let me explain this, Father, to those who don't know. Padre Pio was a priest. He was a capuchin over in San Giovanni Rotondo. Died in 68, but he bore the wounds of Christ for most of his life, and he'd lose a pint of blood a day, and he'd wear these gloves so people wouldn't gawk at his hands. Their fingers were cut out of it, but they'd get blood-soaked. Now, when you had that, I think it was down at your parish the day you had that, when you hold that glove, even though, you know, it's just sitting out of an object, there's almost a heat that radiates from it. Did you find that when you held that thing? What did you experience?
Well, I don't recall that. But I knew, like, when I go up to Holy Communion, someone said to me, well, shouldn't it radiate or something? I said, well, when you go to Communion, do you feel anything?
Right.
You know, so right. If I feel it or not, it is.
That's
it
right.
is. It, yeah. So I do have a piece of the glove. Yeah, so it all didn't
wonderful.
Go back.
Well, I'll tell you what. Coming up, I am going to be joined by an expert on Padre Pio. I will share a fascinating story about a man who's perhaps one of the greatest mystics of the 20th century. We'll fill you in. For more information on Father Simonetti, check his parish out. He's Christ Our Light Parish there in Chicago. Check out his event. Go to colparish.org. It'll be an incredible time. Tell him you heard him here. All right? I'll be right back.